All right. Last week in our ongoing study, and we are now in Hebrews 3, and I sent out an email saying that this section of Hebrews is, in a sense, talking about unbelief. And then last time, I tried to go to all the various scripture verses to try to explain a pattern that I feel the scriptures reveal, and everybody out there, I wouldn't say everybody, but there were a few people that had the deer in the headlights look, like, where are you going? Where are you at? So I thought, well, I'm relentless, so instead of saying it, I thought maybe I could draw it. So, that is what we're going to attempt. And we are in Hebrews chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we had left off in verse 6. Says Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So, what I was trying to describe last time, calling pretty colors ready here. Biblically, the Bible reveals, you know, and I'm just using the word outsiders because they're typically described as unbelievers. They're described as the enemies of God. In the Old Testament, it's the Hittites and the Canaanites, all the ites. And in the New Testament, it's described as the world. And they are considered the enemies of God. And we know biblically that if they reject the gospel, they are lost and going to hell. All right. But if somebody, can you guys see this? Kind of, sort of? If you accept the gospel, then you are in this group that I will call insiders. You're considered believers. You're considered the people of God. And in the Old Testament, the people of God were called Israel. And in the New Testament, the people of God were called the church. And then there is this, did I say assumption or presupposition, that once you are inside, you get the straight line to being saved and being in heaven. Because it's John 3:16. You believe in Jesus, you shall not perish. You go to Romans 10:13, it says, call on the name of the Lord and you are saved. John 5:13, you believe on the Lord Jesus and you will know you have eternal life. So what I was proposing last week that I see as a pattern and I called it proof. And we discussed that there are ifs, ands, so's, and buts. And those were the scripture verses that I was reading last week. And we looked at numerous ones. In fact, we just looked at Hebrews 6 here. It says, you are Jesus' house if we hold fast the confidence until the end. So we looked at a bunch of verses that have if and so and but, and to give you just the Reader's Digest, if you continue in my word, if you hold fast until the end, if you hearken unto my voice, if you keep my commandments, if you follow me, if you depart from iniquity, if you overcome. So there's these scripture verses that says, if you believe, then there is proof that you believe. All right? Yes, Ben. Oh. But if you don't continue, if you don't hold fast, if you don't keep my commandments, and depart fall. You don't hear. Then what happens is the Bible says that you will perish with your evil heart of unbelief. And then you are condemned. So in this proving verses that we were looking at, if you do these things, then you are a believer. And you're part of the household of God. But if you don't do these things, and you depart and fall and not hear, then you will perish with an evil heart of unbelief. And then, as people look at this, they're going, whoa, is this works righteous? Works righteous. Yes, Diane. You're asking me to judge it? I only want to present to you what the scriptures say. And either you're going to be on this path, or you're going to be on this path. And those paths seem very clear in the Bible. And now that I kind of described, or actually drew out what I was trying to describe last week, now we're going to look at some of the scripture verses. We'll come back to John 3, but let's go to John chapter 8, which we were in a few weeks back. You say, I'm going to have to? How would you have drawn it? Up here? Sure. Yeah, that's a possibility. I would agree with that. But what I am bringing up is that people, because they did John 3:16, they did Romans 10:13, and they did 1 John 5:13, and we're going to get into this in a minute, and I started to bring it up last week, is that Hebrews says today. And I'm going to expound on that in a minute. Because people make a confession or profession, and I brought this up last week, 4 days ago, 4 weeks ago, 4 months ago, 4 years ago, 4 decades ago. I'm just saying the scriptures, as we look here in Hebrews, says, today, if you hear his voice. Not 4 days ago, not 4 weeks ago. And that's a part of the proof. Are you still hearing? Are you still continuing? Are you still departing evil? Well, I mean, there's going to be argument about loss of salvation, losing your faith. But again, let me continue so that we can look at what the scripture verses talk about regarding whether you are here, here, or here versus you end up here and here. All right, so back to John chapter 8. And in verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, this is talking about Jesus, many believed on him. And I'm telling you right now, that word believe is the word that you can find all over the New Testament, including John 3:16 and the other verses that I brought up, for believers. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here's a group of people. You know, and I wrote in my Bible from a previous teaching that was just mental assent. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I mean, it all falls under the issue that they accepted the gospel and believed. Because how am I going to take the context of that word, that Greek word, and then go to John 3:16 and say, well, maybe those people believed and were part of the whosoever's and they shall not perish? How am I going to go to all those Greek words and say, well, I have to clarify that. There's an exception here. Hang on. Jesus lists the exception here. He goes, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, if you really believe in me, you will continue and stay in my word, and then you are my disciple indeed, and you will know my word, my truth. And my word and my truth, essentially me, because he was standing there right in front of all these people, he says, I will set you free. I mean, what a great gospel presentation. And then what happened after he presented them, oh, you believe in me? You believe in me? Well, here's what we're going to see if you believe in me. And what was their response to that? They argued with him. They said, whoa, we're the seed of Abraham. Like Jesus was dumb or something. And he goes later, he goes, I know you're the seed of Abraham, but you do the deeds of your father. If you loved me, hence loving God, you would have done the deeds of Abraham. You would have believed me. You would have known I told you the truth, and you would follow me. The proof. And I'm just trying to propose that that pattern that Jesus used here is throughout the whole Bible. It is, we looked in Deuteronomy 30. That example is in Deuteronomy 30. Jesus uses it here. And we're currently looking in Hebrews, where it is really expounded. So, yes, Ben, you had your hand up. And we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 3 now. Nope. So, Hebrews chapter 3, it says, today, if you hear his voice. Like I said, doesn't matter what you said or confessed or professed 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years, or 4 decades ago. The admonition to us, and we're going to see that it involves us, is if today you hear his voice. And what is interesting in this section is that the writer says, your father. That's talking about this box. He didn't say the Canaanites, the Hittites. He didn't say the outsiders. He's talking to the people who are inside. Your fathers. Your fathers heard the voice of God throughout the 40 years. And what was the result of them hearing the voice of God over a period of time? They hardened their hearts. And last week I think I brought up that word harden means endurate. And the best example is how the cold hardens the ground. And they hardened their hearts through the irritating provocation of God by testing him during their testing in the lonesome desert. I told you what the definition of wilderness is. It is solitary, desolate, wasted place. That's the desert. And I said, how many country songs have been written about the torment of idle, solitary, desolate, and the wasted place of loneliness? Rick knows them all. That's the definition of both. They're interchangeable when you look it up in the Greek. All right. So I'm going to give you a personal testimony here. I watched my mom sit in front of the TV all day, smoking cigarettes and drinking. She was not physically alone, but her choices put her and kept her in the wilderness. My mom made no profession of faith. So, she was an inhabitant of the world, or as the Old Testament calls it, the inhabitant of the land. So, this warning is not to the inhabitants of the land, but it is to the people of God who have seen, have heard, and have tasted the goodness of God. Well, these people will not acknowledge that they have heard, seen, and tasted the goodness of God. The people over here, after sitting in church and fellowshipping and listening to the radio and singing, they have heard and tasted and seen the goodness of God. So we know firsthand that the inhabitants of the land, they are in varying degrees on a scale, you can put on your scale of 1 to 10 of being in the wilderness. Because that they have no way out of the wilderness until God does them. That's key here, and I think all of you know that that's key, until God does something. But the point is, are the people of God supposed to be hardened to the point where they depart, turn, and fall away in the desert wilderness experience? Are we in the new covenant exempt from the wilderness? And if we are, I'd have to ask the question, why is the Hebrews writer even bringing this up? Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I don't know if it was Pastor Greg who said it or Rick in the last week. Is something about we weren't promised a rose garden. Which one of you guys said that? Didn't promise us a rose garden. So, anybody want to read 1 through 6 in Deuteronomy 8? Sure, Earl. Six. Okay. I've been to this scripture verse a few times, and there's an inclination to say, well, this is under the law. This is the old covenant. This has nothing to do with the church. And then I still got to ask the question, because we haven't got there yet in Hebrews. Hebrews 3:9 brings up the 40 years of the testing and the proving in the wilderness. So I have to ask the question, why is this writer bringing this up if it has nothing to do with us? So, here's one of the things that we all struggle with under the term disobedience. In fact, let's go to Exodus. Exodus 20. And anybody want to read 18 through 20? So disobedience, either disobedience is going to proceed to hardening, and it's going to proceed to falling away. That's this picture here. Or disobedience is going to fall under this, under the proof that your disobedience is chastening, and then your disobedience is returning. Isn't that the biblical picture of repentance? And the deal is, it's not a one-time thing for 4 years, 4 months. It's today. Today, are you hearing the voice of the Lord? I mean, we could go to Hebrews chapter 12, where the Lord tells us, if I love you, I will chasten you, and you will return to me. Pastor. Yeah, you got your diploma 4 days ago, 4 weeks ago, 4 months, 4 years, 4 decades. Yeah, Earl. I don't. That is one place I could go, but that was not in my notes. Yeah, because the proof is they go this direction with the bad soils. They get choked out. They get stomped out. The point is that they fall away. So, here we go. Ben brought up suicide a few weeks back. So let's do, based on what we've went through here, let's just do a little math on his question, because he asked the question, can a believer commit suicide? Let's do some math here. People do not wake up one day and decide the only choice they have for the day is ending their life. So biblically, what has happened to that person to come to the point where they say, I want to take pills or step in front of a truck or just, you know, whatever method of taking their life? What happened to that person to finally wake up and come to that? Okay. Let's hang on there. I mean, let me get a few more sentences in before we start going crazy here. but he's bringing up kind of this is a legitimate, I don't know, scenario. I don't want to call it an excuse, but a legitimate scenario. But let's, what has happened? Did a stronghold not only get built in that person's mind, but it has been fortified? And has it been fortified over time through the hardening process of unbelief? So you got to ask yourself, did that stronghold, because that's what it is, a stronghold is believing what is a lie. That's a stronghold. So this person has believed in a lie, and they have fortified it. True or false? Tell me why. Okay, but then in that section of 2 Corinthians 10, okay, but even in your scenario, 2 Corinthians 10 says that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Yes. Okay, but if you have a stronghold of Christ, then why would anybody believe they had to kill themselves? Okay. Yes, and we're this section of Hebrews gets to that. It gets to that. But my question is where did this person start not believing every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? In other words, when did they start believing the lie? To come to the conclusion that they have to kill themselves, I'm going to say that that is a lie. That is not from Christ. That is a lie. And that's funny. I was going to go there because that's one of the classic areas people go to, you know, despair to life, which is acknowledging that they're thinking, you know, I'm done here. I've had it. So, but let's go to Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11 with Jesus' wilderness temptation. Wilderness temptation. What are we in here in Hebrews 3? We're talking about a wilderness temptation. And in the wilderness, it was only 40 days and 40 nights for Jesus. But it's interesting for the nation of Israel, it was 40 years. But the point is, it's a wilderness. And then the section talks about how Jesus was hungry. The picture is that Jesus has been tested. He's been tried. And then who shows up? The devil shows up. Who wants to read verses 5 through 7? Okay, Meredith. Let's tear this apart a little bit. Pastor Greg has went through Ephesians 6 that has talked about rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, so it's talking about this spiritual forces somewhere above us. You know, and you look it up in the Greek, it says in the heavenly. But the point is, it's above us. The devil took Jesus to the highest point of the temple. The highest place of the temple. And then he tempted Jesus to say, kill yourself. God will provide for you. Really? And what was Jesus' response to that? He says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. What a lie here. Kill yourself and God will provide. And the example here is that angels will take care of you. And Jesus didn't say, oh, that's right. That's exactly what will happen. Jesus said, don't tempt God with such a lie. It's incredible how sneaky the things that pop into our head that we let revolve around, and then here's the point I'm going to make when we go back to Hebrews. It's over time. This section of Hebrews talks about the temptation and the testing isn't a one-time pop quiz. It's over 40 years. Hence the point the Lord tells us today, if you hear his voice. Because there is a point about holding fast. That's where we left off in verse 6. Somebody have their hand up, starting to ramble. Ben. And? Okay, but that's potentially true, but the lie that was given to Jesus is kill yourself. And the lie is that it'll all work out because God will intervene. I'm just telling you, Jesus' response to that lie of jumping off and killing yourself is, don't tempt God. Yeah, I guess in the prophetic thing in regards to what was going to happen to Jesus, you're right about that. Yes. Prove it. Yeah, prove it. Prove it. Oh, yeah. And that's the pattern of Matthew 4 here. Okay, and as we continue with this section of Hebrews, you can see that over time, the longer you don't kill those thoughts with the truth, there's a pattern. There's the pattern of hardening. There's the patternness of the deceitfulness of sin. So, and like I said, the thing that I really noticed about this section here is that the Lord is talking about 40 years because this is a pattern over time. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being upon the throne. You know, the chapters 1 and chapters 2 just so highly exalted you as the King of Heaven, the King of the Heavenly Kingdom, and you are high and lifted up. Lord, you left us your Spirit and you left us your Word so that we could navigate through this false kingdom here on earth, and lead people to the